Hello, welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club or a common reading program for geek culture. Each week, we have a topic that four people will discuss from their own geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, we are talking about a theory about the next episode of Rick and Morty, specifically pertaining to multiverse theory, which I am super interested in. I am joined by...
Hi, I'm Edward Ryan, and my domain that I'm going to be repping on this episode is Elder Scrolls.
Hi, my name is Keenan, and the domain that I will be representing is Bioshock.
And I'm Austin, and today I'll be representing Steven Universe.
Should I not have said my last name?
You can say whatever you want, bro.
Well, I mean, no one else did.
You have two first names, so it's fine.
That's true.
Yeah, true.
All right, that's fine.
And I am Pat. I will be representing the Rick and Morty geekdom. So, today we're talking about a combination of three Rick and Morty episodes and how they pertain to this YouTube video that I watched. The YouTube video is The Secret of the Ticket by Dylan McRitch. We're also talking about how it ties in with Season 1, Episode 6, Rick Potion Number 9, Season 2, Episode 2, Morty Night Run, and Season 2, Episode 4, Total Rickall. So, in the YouTube video, Dylan McRitch talks about how he feels that a certain Gromphlemite is still alive.
Michael.
Crumbopolis Michael.
Crumbopolis Michael, that is correct.
Hi, Morty. I'm Crumbopolis Michael.
Love that guy.
Even though Rick and Morty is meant to be episodic, there is a secret underlying storyline that permeates the entire universe, and he believes that it has to do with the different universes within Rick and Morty, how there are multiple Ricks.
My name is Morty Smith from Earth Dimension C-137.
So I'm going to jump in a little bit with talking about how each episode kind of pertains to this and gives a little credence to it. And then I'll wrap up with the YouTube video. So in Season 1, Episode 6, Rick makes this love potion that completely screws the entire universe over because it has this weird effect where if it's used on someone who has a cold, it turns them into an insect.
Well, no, wasn't it that, like, it like piggybacks on the
flu virus. On flu virus. Yeah.
Yeah, so it can be transferred, and then everyone falls in love with Morty. And then when he tries to fix it, he ends up making the same thing, yeah, except it also turns them into insect monsters.
You see?
Yeah.
And then
Austin's in contention for the golden plumbus this week right now. Okay, so yeah. Basically, Rick turns everybody into insects except for the Smith family and himself. So in order to fix this, what he does is he uses this, like, virtual reality headset that lets him see into different universes. So he finds a universe in which he failed and destroyed, like, he killed himself and Morty in that universe so that he could come in and then just take their place and everything would be normal. That's kind of how that plays into it. And then later on in the episode, Morty Night Run, we see that there is a daycare for all the different Jerrys that have Ricks in their lives so that the Ricks can just drop them off without them annoying them. So we see at the beginning of the episode, Rick drops off the Jerry. They specifically show they are C-137 Rick, which that's the Rick that we follow through the show. So he's from Universe C-137. And then we see that the person at the daycare hands him a ticket, and it says the number 5126. Later on in that episode, when they come back, we see the Rick and Morty that we have been following accidentally pick up 5126, and then someone comes and asks them for 5126. So that leads us to believe that the Rick and Morty we followed in Morty Night Run are not C-137 Rick and Morty.
So here's my question, the Cronenberg Universe episode. Are they C-137 Rick and Morty?
From Earth Dimension C-137!
Yes.
So, is their original universe that they destroyed, is that C-137? Or is the universe in which they took their own places C-137?
I honestly don't know.
That's a good question.
Okay.
I'm struggling to remember from the YouTube video, but do they start talking about Universe C-137 after that episode or before
it? I think it's when the first Council of Ricks comes in.
Which we didn't watch.
No, that's episode 10 of season 1, I think.
Okay, so then C-137 is probably the one that they moved into, because the other Ricks
wouldn't
know.
Since it was after the Cronenberg episode. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so during the episode of Morty Night Run, the new Rick and Morty, not C-137 Rick and Morty, are responsible for the death of, like, millions of people, because Morty has this existential crisis of I can't be involved in my grandpa dealing weapons, so I have to go save this dude. This little fart cloud that Crumbopulous Michael.
Telepathic fart cloud.
That sings.
Played by Jemaine Clement?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I like that.
So the whole premise, I guess, of Morty Night Run, I should back up, is that Rick and Morty drop Jerry off and then go to sell a gun to Crumbopulous Michael, who is an assassin, a very good assassin from what we can see, and Morty does not like being involved in dealing weapons, so he takes Rick's spaceship and goes to try to stop Crumbopulous Michael, and in the process smashes his ship into a building, crushing Crumbopulous Michael and killing him. So then they go and pick up the wrong Morty, or the wrong Jerry, and we see that whole ordeal that leads us to believe that the Rick and Morty that we were following in that episode, Morty Night Run, are not the real Rick and Morty from Dimension or Universe C-137. Then, two episodes later, during episode Total Rickall, the premise is there are all these new characters in the show that we have never seen before, and the family is just acting like they've been there the entire time because they're parasites that implant themselves into your memory and then feed you false happy memories to make you believe that they've been there for your entire life. But the thing is, they don't have the ability to give you any sad memories. So the way they figure this out is they have to go through every single memory they have of this person, and if they don't have any bad memories, they shoot them and see if they're a parasite. So that's also the first episode we see Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Now this little poopy pants is hungry!
I liked that he's in the intro in like every scene. Yeah,
because the intro also kind of feeds into the whole multiverse theory, because they have a bunch of stuff in the intro that you never see.
Yet. Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that fucking Cthulhu monster episode. That one looks hilarious.
Yeah, I want a baby Cthulhu.
But yeah, no, so I like that they're talking about how the parasites, like, you know, create these false memories, and then Mr. Poopy Butthole shows up for the first time, and then they play the intro, and he's in every scene in the intro.
It was
that leads you to believe that Mr. Poopy Butthole is one of these parasites. But then at the end, we see Beth get the same idea as us, and she shoots Mr. Poopy Butthole, and he's real.
Holy... This is how I die!
Oh, sorry, I didn't have any bad memories.
He's been... I know.
Oh my god, that was so sad.
He's been there the entire time. And at the beginning of the episode, we see Rick walk into the scene and dump those specific pink and green crystals that he just got two episodes sooner into the
trash. Well, they were green and pink, really.
Oh, the implication here being, Keenan, that Mr. Poopy Butthole has been in this universe that this episode takes place in the whole time, where the C-137 people are just, you know, that's not them. They're not there. For some reason, this episode takes place in the other universe. Yeah. Like the blast shields. I want those on my house.
So this episode, we're following a different Rick and Morty than we usually follow.
Correct, which is why Mr. Peepoo Butthole has always been there. It's a different universe. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So this leads back to the...
Crumbopulous Michael.
This means that C-137 Crumbopulous Michael could still be alive, theoretically. Now, this leads us to the end of season 2, where if you haven't seen it yet, you kind of have to get a little bit spoiled right now. Rick goes to prison.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It's intense.
Wait, which episode is this?
This is the very last episode of season 2. Rick goes to prison.
But not normal prison, it's space prison.
I was not told to watch this episode, so I didn't.
If you didn't watch it by now, Eddie, I'm surprised.
Yeah, so that leads me to the big point of the YouTube video, is it's episodic in nature, but there's a secret underlying plot to it.
The secret plot.
So the thing that I think they are doing, and what Dylan McRitch thinks they are doing, is they're using this... like small little subtle hints in each episode for you to be able to pick out which Rick is which. So let's go into the YouTube video now.
Real quick though, if the plot's a secret, doesn't that make it a conspiracy?
Until it's revealed.
No, I think a plot can still be secret.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think a plot could be secret.
No, because we can make a secret plot to like assassinate the president.
I think that
it's also
a conspiracy
in that case.
Well, actually, we can make a secret plot to, when we release this episode, only put Keenan's audio in so he just sounds like a crazy guy.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, you don't need to take out other audio for that, but I'm just a brain in a jar, and like, none of you exist, you're all in my imagination. You don't exist. Yeah, Austin knows. Don't you, Austin, you sexy beast.
So anyway, in the YouTube video, Dylan McRitch makes a point of talking about this one episode in season 1 where we see the Council of Ricks. And Rick says that in a few of the universes that Rick exists, they decided to come together and make this Council of Ricks. One of the Ricks on the council, when questioning C-137 Rick, says, "Of all the Ricks in the Central Finite Curve, you're the malcontent." So we take that phrase, central finite curve. What Dylan McRitch thinks it means is there are an infinite number of universes, but in only a small number of those universes, we have Ricks that are intelligent scientists, whatnot. So they take all of the Ricks in existence and filter them down to the useful Ricks. And then of those useful Ricks, they filter out the universes that they come from, all the universes that they have been to.
Yeah, I felt a little like the video was being dumb when I was talking about that, because they made it sound like that was some sort of weird idea. Because, I mean, it makes sense that they would only, like he said, we only have a few retries, because if you have an infinite number of possibilities, how many of those even have the basic premises to even get a Rick?
Well, that's the point, is in an infinite number of universes, they are an infinite number of Ricks. Like, that's just how infinity works.
Yeah, there's too much of it, Keenan.
So what they do is they filter it down to the ones that they know are actually useful so that they can kind of, like, make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, no, I agree with it. I just felt like it was obvious.
Well, I guess, but you still got to talk about it. There's a central finite curve of universes in which Ricks can come and go and do their experiments, whatnot. So, I had something and I lost it.
It's okay, Pat. It happens to everybody. It's totally normal.
Are you going
to
talk about Crumbopulous Michael?
Infinite universes.
What they consider useful.
God damn it,
Keith. Portal guns.
We're past the Cronenbergs.
Cronenberg.
No.
Yeah, you were talking about the central finite curve.
And they could have an... Wait, sorry. Before you continue, I think that... they could have an episode in the future where they have to go back to the Cronenberg universe for some reason, and then they could call it Keeping Up with the Cronenbergs. Continue.
That'd be pretty funny. Oh, so even though multiverse theory is prevalent in the show, they have to kind of limit it in a way in order for it to be useful as a plot device, which I like, because I think if you just had infinite number of universes, every time something went wrong, Rick would just be like, all right, we're going to do a new universe instead of just trying, because he knows there's a limited number of tries that he has. This leads back to the whole, yes, it's episodic in nature, but the secret underlying plot permeates everything by you having to look for super specific details in order to know which specific universe we are looking at right now. Like, eventually they will show, yeah, Mr. Poopy Butthole is still alive, so you know that's not the universe we were originally from, because he never comes back. But then Morty Night Run, you have no idea that the Rick and Morty that come in at the end are the real Rick and Morty.
Unless the ones that walk in aren't the ones we've been following the whole time.
That is also true. Like, boom, you never know. But I think it's pretty fair to assume that the ones that walked in are the ones that we've been following, because when they walk in, they specifically say,
like, how many people did your Morty
Yeah,
kill?
But I mean, how many versions of them are there?
A lot.
I mean, also, it's kind of implied from the previous two shots, Keenan, where we show the non-C-137 Rick and Morty flying away from the planet where the fart was killed, and then onto the planet where the daycare is for Jerry's. And then the next shot is inside the building, them entering. It's just, I feel like that's a pretty okay connection to make.
Well, you could say that you make the same argument about the original C-137 Ricks, because we saw them in the garage, and then we see the whole thing unfold from there. So if we're going by shot, I don't think we can really trust the shots, per se, because any shot could be the branching point.
The way this all ties back to how it's useful in season 3 is if Crumbopulous Michael is still alive in C-137 universe, and C-137 Rick is the one who gets imprisoned at the end of season 2, you can make the connection that he gets his weapons from Rick. So if Rick is still in prison and Crumbopulous Michael needs to kill people, and he doesn't have a weapon supplier anymore, he would have a motive to break Rick out of prison. If someone were to break Rick out of prison, Crumbopulous Michael would be the man for the job. All right, so that's the basic gist of what I wanted to talk about with Rick and Morty. So, Eddie.
Hey.
How does this really pertain to the Elder Scrolls universe? How does the, like, can you elaborate on what made you think, oh, multiverse, let's go Elder Scrolls.
Show me what you got!
Yeah, so, Elder Scrolls has a lot of lore in it. Anyone who's played the games may have noticed. There's lots of books, and most people ignore them, but you could read all of them.
Reading.
And so there's a lot in the Elder Scrolls universe, and the idea of parallel universes is one of those things. So basically, there's a couple of different ways that this kind of idea of like a parallel universes fits in. So the Elder Scrolls games all take place on a continent called Tamriel.
Kanan get off Facebook.
And in the world of the Elder Scrolls, there is a parallel version of Tamriel called the Adjacent Place, or Lig.
The Lig!
Yes, Kanan?
Is Lig short for something?
No, I don't believe. It's L-Y-G. I don't believe it's short for anything.
Lig?
Wait, time out. Where do we hear about Lig?
We find out about Lig in Morrowind.
Fuck Morrowind.
Did you read the commentaries?
No, I also didn't play Morrowind because I didn't like the idea of it not having fucking, like, consistent geography.
Cool.
But Austin, in Oblivion, the commentaries on the Mysterium Xarxes, yeah. The books that Mankar Cameron wrote.
Yeah.
Did you read those?
I mean, like, it was 4 years ago.
Anyway. All right, well, they talk about Lig.
Anyway, Lig.
So Lig is basically, like, a parallel version of the continent Tamriel. So it's said in some of the legends that Vivek, like a demigod or, like, a saint, that he traveled to Lig and came back and told stories about it. And also, Mankar Cameron gets information about Lig from Mehrunes Dagan's writings in the Mysterium Xarxes. The world of Elder Scrolls was created by the 8 or 9 Divines. The other celestial beings that didn't create the world, some of them got together and created Lig. In Lig is where Mehrunes Dagan was created, and Mehrunes Dagan is kind of like this demon of destruction. Well, his whole point of existence is to destroy the world. As far as we know, Lig looks like evil and shit, for lack of a better term.
So wait, this thing was created in Lig to destroy Tamriel?
Yeah.
Or to destroy both?
Both, because so the idea is that Nirn was folded in half. Nirn is the planet, and Tamriel left an imprint on the other side, and when it was unfolded, Tamriel was on one side and Lig was on the other.
It's a metaphor.
What?
It's religious doctrine. It's not supposed to make sense.
Okay.
That's his whole deal. And then he, Mehrunes Dagan, has a plane of oblivion, which are literally like alternate dimensions. And his plane of oblivion is called something that I can't remember. I'll do some quick Googling and I'll sound like I didn't. Shit, they're not going to edit that out.
Nope, no, I'm not.
Real quick.
All right, 1 second. Wait.
Real quick, what's our policy on language?
You can say whatever you want. If it's too offensive, we'll take it out after the fact.
I've said fuck at least 3 times, bro.
You don't even know. You don't even need to know how many fucks I like just edited out of Jeffrey's speech, like in the last episode.
Cool.
So Mehrunes Dagan's plane of oblivion is called the Deadlands. It's basically like this land of like mostly lava with little like islands of land dotting it with all scorched earth.
Sounds delightful.
And like the only plants that survive are like plants that spew poison and grass that's like covered in blood.
Sounds like it has a thriving ecosystem, so I don't see where the dead part comes in.
There's just not very much diversity there. It's just like lizards and
yeah, atrophies. And so there's another plane of oblivion called Cold Harbor, and that's ruled over by Molag Bal, who's one of the other like not so nice deities. Austin has just fist pumped. I think he likes Molag Bal. So Molag Bal, he hates Tamriel, and so Cold Harbor is an exact copy of it, but everyone is like enslaved and everything is like torture and pain all the time.
So,
and this is something from Elder Scrolls Online, but he a long time ago tried to merge Cold Harbor with the real world. It didn't work.
If he already has his plane of oblivion, why does he care what happens in the real world? He's got his own plane.
He hates mortals and wants to like do all this torture and everything to them.
Basically, there's people out there who aren't being tortured right now and he doesn't like that.
He wants to take everything they love and turn it into crap.
Clean their chairs.
Molag Bal, I've come to bargain.
Cool.
So in the Elder Scrolls, there's this concept that the universe is taking place in cycles called Kalpa. I think that's the dragon word for it. And there isn't a word for it in any other language, as far as I know.
I mean, Kalpas are, they're a real world term. It comes from either, like, Hinduism or Buddhism. I'm not sure where exactly,
but
it's like a, it's an insanely long amount of time.
Gotcha. Well, they exist in Elder Scrolls, too, I guess. I should learn more about the real world, I guess, instead of just these fake ones. A Kalpa is like one cycle, and the cycle ends with the destruction and rebirth of the world or universe. There are these things that can happen inside of a kalpa called dragon breaks. And what that is basically a break in time that splits the timeline into a bunch of different parallel timelines until they eventually converge back into one timeline. And so this has happened a couple of times. And the big one is called the Warp in the West. In Elder Scrolls 2, you have a whole bunch of choices for how you end the game. And the people who made the game wanted to make them all canon. So they created the concept of the Dragon Break. So everyone from different parts of Tamriel has different memories of what happened. And so like it's kind of this weird like concept of alternate realities where like there are a bunch of them, but they all kind of exist in the same universe, if that makes sense. And I can get more into it later, but I've been taking a lot of time.
Well, I just have one question first. In each of these Dragon Break timelines, let's say there are multiple people that have spanned multiple timelines. When they crash back together, does that person have like three memories or does that just not happen?
So generally, what happens is people will lose their memories of those events. And the other thing is most of the dragon breaks, as far as we know, don't converge until the end of this kalpa, in which that memory thing doesn't become an issue.
Because everybody dies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Thank you for your insight, Eddie.
I like what you got.
So I've been dragging on for a while now, so why don't we pass it over to Keenan?
Hey guys, okay. My domain is Bioshock, and Bioshock is deeply rooted in the multiverse theory since the making of Bioshock Infinite. Unfortunately, this contains spoilers, so if anyone's listening and has not played the Bioshock series, about to ruin some plot points for you.
Do it!
Okay. The first two games revolve around a city called Rapture. Basically, Rapture is a city where this man, Andrew Ryan, said, I don't want to be controlled by governments or by religions. I just want to kind of go make a place where objectivism rules and everyone just kind of does as much as they want. And in theory, science and art will be able to flourish. What ends up happening is, like, those with power end up, like, oppressing those who are weaker, and then everything goes to shit because people are also crazy because they're splicing their genes with this sea slug they found on the ground that turns out lets you, I don't know, spark fire from your face because, you know, you need that sometimes underwater. Wait,
is that where plasmids came from?
Those are made of sea slugs?
Yeah, those were plasmids are played from the sea slugs that let you rewrite your DNA.
Okay.
Man, I did not know this.
Then in the third game, and the first game you beat Andrew Ryan, the second game is a kind of continuation of the story, but in the third one, it's distinctly different because it's actually in a different city altogether. So Infinite is different because it's set about 50 years before. Bioshock 1 and 2 are set in 1960. Infinite is set in 1912. Your character is Booker DeWitt, and you're hired to get this girl back from...
Because there's a city in the clouds, right?
This floating city in the sky called Columbia. Bring back the girl, wipe away your debt, right? Instead of a guy trying to control the people with business, he ends up actually loving the American government and loving God. Polar opposite. Things also end up getting crazy there because instead of plasmids, there are things called Vigors, which do basically the same thing.
Was it a sky slug this time, though?
Actually, that's very interesting. You should, it comes back later because it turns out that it's in the whole game that Elizabeth, who opens these weird portals to alternate universes, but you as Booker travel to a different universe at the very end of the game because it turns out that the guy you've been fighting the whole time, Zachary Comstock, is actually Booker DeWitt. Because after Booker DeWitt massacred people at Wounded Knee, he became a drunk, he went to this baptism, and this is the point where Zachary Comstock comes from. Because in baptism, commonly what people used to do, and they still do this today, is you take a different name. So in this version, he became Zachary Hale Comstock. He accepted the baptism. And it's very interesting because you find out this Booker did not take the baptism. So this is the pivotal point where Zachary Comstock was made and Booker DeWitt continued on because he did not take the baptism. And they address that within the game. So all Bookers and all Comstocks come from this point. The only way to really kill Comstock is to kill Booker at this moment. And that's how the game ends. But he wakes up again and he's at home. And it turns out that Elizabeth is his daughter who was stolen from him.
He stole from himself, right?
Yes.
Fucked up.
Now, Jeremiah Fink, who's an industrialist, that was communicating with a scientist in Rapture and was using the same technology that made plasmids to make Vigors. So they're deeply interconnected.
But they are slugs.
So, yeah, so it's sky slugs? Well, it's sea slugs in the sky.
Well, it's normal slugs in the sky.
So, in theory, I believe it's supposed to be the sea slugs.
Is it only these two scientists collaborating, or is it, like, a bunch of them in different universes?
It's basically these two scientists collaborating, but they have a bunch of other scientists doing stuff.
Oh, okay.
In Rapture, this scientist, Dr. Shuzhong, is not the only guy making plasmids, but he is the only one talking to Jeremiah Fink. Elizabeth was Booker's daughter, who he sold to get his debts wiped away because he ended up becoming a drunk.
Yeah, Pat, you got something to say about that?
So the Booker that we play as is going to Columbia to rescue Elizabeth to wipe away that Booker's debts, but then Comstock has debts that he sold his daughter away to also pay, like, off?
No. Comstock never had any debts.
Okay.
Yeah, Comstock, what happened with Comstock is that he was using a machine to predict the future, right? But it turns out it left him sterile. And to truly solidify his reign over the city, he needed an heir. So what he did is he found a very similar version of himself, Booker DeWitt, who was a drunk who had no money and was in debt and needed to get rid of those debts. So he finds him, he sends his agents and said, hey, I can wipe away your debt for what is his child, just not his version. The same people who worked for Comstock, because we meet them, the Lutece twins, throughout the game. Because it turns out they're not actually twins. One is simply a male version of her.
From an alternate timeline.
From different dimensions.
They're the same person, just one's male and one is female.
That's how twins work.
And it's really weird, because I'm pretty sure that they're like an item. I don't know.
What?
100%. 100%.
But is it really incest, or is that just masturbation?
It's masturbation.
I would call it masturbation.
Masturbation.
Yeah. Unanimous.
All right. Hey, Keenan, are we going to talk about the inter, you know, universe relationship of Rapture and Columbia? All right, because that's very important to me on a personal level.
Yes, but it turns out these destinies are more interconnected than just basic science, because in Borealed Sea, it turns out the very events that set Rapture on its decline into civil war were started by Elizabeth, because Elizabeth goes on a vendetta to kill Comstocks through other timelines as well. So she goes there, and in an attempt to save a child, she ends up giving the villain in BioShock the keys to the city, basically, and also revealing him the master stroke that is the player character in BioShock 1 via the words. And it turns out that a lot of the technology that was made in Rapture and also in Columbia were just feeding back off each other through the timelines, like I said with the plasmids earlier. So that's the reason why I'm coming at this from a BioShock angle, because that deeply feeds upon the multiverse theory and how everything is made up by decisions. In the words of Elizabeth, constants and variables.
So is Keenan going to do a little handoff bit?
No. We're just going to keep going. So anyway, yeah, it's a multiverse theory isn't as integral to Steven Universe as it is to any of these other things, but it has some interesting parallels, because there is one episode of Steven Universe in early on in the series where Steven gets this little hourglass that can let him go back in time, and so he's created four Stevens in the same timeline, because they keep going back and they're all like different Stevens that should be making their own decisions in like different timelines of this universe, but they're all stuck in the same one because of the little device. And so they decide to try to make a band, but since they're all Steven, they all want to be in charge of the band.
Steven and the Stevens.
Yeah, Steven and the Stevens.
Can't you see it in my eyes? I'm the one, two, three, four.
But they end up, the band falls apart and stuff, and then they get into this huge fight, because each of them is a copy of the other Steven. They all have those little time machines that they can use that let them go back in time. Yeah, so they end up going on, like, this big, like, jump back in time to try to stop each other from doing things that they're trying to kill each other, essentially.
I wouldn't say kill each other. They're, like, 12, so.
Well,
I feel like we just, like, went from 0 to 60 on this whole band thing.
That's how Steven Universe goes.
I want to be the singer. I'll fucking kill you.
Well, no, because like they each realize, oh shit, wait.
I'll make sure you never existed.
Kind of, because the original Steven decides, oh shit, I need to stop myself from getting the hourglass. So they all go back to the beginning of the episode where Steven gets the hourglass, breaks the original hourglass, and all of the, because of the magic of the hourglass and stuff, is nullified by it breaking. Then all of those alternate timeline Stevens die, and we're left with a different Steven. So, like, in that way, we're, after that episode, we're following a different Steven from the one that we've followed previously. But it doesn't really matter as much, and they don't do that much building upon that idea because, like, it's just a kid's show, and it can't get way too convoluted.
Wait, so what? Wait, the original Steven, what happens to him? I think I missed that. He dies?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because we can tell it's him because when he makes himself the leader of the band, the original Steven, he gives himself a different haircut, and then you can tell him apart from all the other Stevens.
So he dies?
Yes. He dies.
It actually becomes into the song.
It looks really creepy, actually.
Yeah, no, he makes a new song with the crystal gems, and it's like, I learned how to say true to myself by watching myself die.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, Austin, if you're going to address the map of Steven Universe?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to get to that. The world that Steven Universe exists in is sort of like a slightly off-kilter version of our own world. Like, the map, the continents are basically the same shape, but you can tell there's a huge hole in the middle of Russia.
Canada has a green flag. Yeah, it's the same flag, but it's just green instead.
No, there are a lot of things that are just like changed a little bit. Like, New York City is actually called Empire City. New Jersey is just called Jersey, and the traffic is just as shitty.
What happened to Old Jersey?
There was no Old Jersey.
Oh god. What about the Jersey Boys?
Steven doesn't watch that much reality.
That's a musical, Austin, not reality TV.
Well, it's fine. Everything's fine. It sort of shows like a slightly twisted or slightly bent version of like humanity and real world history. In that, in Steven Universe, there is there's this room, which is an ancient temple. Steven's room. It was his mother's room, but we don't need to explain. It's his room now because she's dead. We can say that.
Yeah, the dead rock.
Yeah, I mean, not really dead, but she's him. So it's his room anyway. Either way, you can understand.
She is him?
He's half alien, and these aliens, their bodies are...
hard light projections.
Do they call them hard light, though, in the show? I don't know.
Yeah, they're hard light projections.
Well, no, they often refer to them as...
They're tricks of light.
Can I just fucking...
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Cool.
Anyway, so essentially the aliens are like these rocks that project bodies around them. And so since Steven is half human, he doesn't really do that. He has a human body, but he has this gem in his belly. And since gems don't normally reproduce, his mother had to do some crazy shape-shifting stuff. And she ended up having to sacrifice herself because her gem was given to her son. So she's dead. Or she's Steven, depending on how you look at it.
I'm just mainly confused. So everybody in this universe, besides Steven, is a rock.
No. They're aliens. Earth is full of humans, and there's this alien...
Earth is full of humans.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, no, that's one of the primary things. Like, the series is... So, gems are these funky aliens that are created. They're an imperial species. They take over planets and, like, take all their resources and make more gems and really fuck shit up. It's implied this isn't all, like, necessarily out there for us to see. We're going to get a lot of answers this month, apparently. But anyway...
Wait, you don't know?
No, I'm not looking at...
They're already online.
I didn't look at the spoilers.
No, I mean, like... They're not spoilers, I just watched
the
episode.
I know, they were released on the app, but then they took them back, so I'm going to watch them when they come out, Keenan.
All right, I'll just think about all the answers I got.
Yeah, Keenan, you can shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up! Fuck you, Austin, stop talking. It won't do anything.
Bum, bum, bum.
You can keep going, I was just letting people know.
Can I mute him? Anyway, Rose Quartz, who it turns out to be Steven's mother later, she led this rebellion to try to protect the humans on Earth. So now there are like a couple gems on Earth, and they're the crystal gems. They're the remains of the rebellion.
Yeah.
Are there any gems that are assassins that may have been killed in alternate timelines?
And may try to break Steven out of prison.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Crumbopolis Michael.
Has Steven ever been to prison?
Actually, well, we do break out of prison at one point.
Technically, at present, we could consider Rose Quartz to be that assassin, but she's dead in a way. Because, like, it's implied that Rose Quartz killed one of the Diamond Authorities.
I would argue that it's not implied. They said it. Their equivalent of death is shattering.
So do the gems look like people?
No. Yes.
Yeah, no, I've been going through this series again with a friend, so like I'm just, yeah.
Cool.
Besides the time travel, what other kind of like stuff in Steven Universe relates back to the Rick and Morty episodes we watched?
No, I should talk first.
Well, I mean, it still deals with a lot of like the same kind of traveling between planets and like different. You know what? Fuck off.
Fuck you.
Well, I didn't do anything.
No, Keenan did it.
I'm just eating a cracker, man.
I'm just letting you know. Keep talking. I'll chime in later.
Then why do you keep making these signals like the audio's cut out?
That's what it means.
I am talking.
We couldn't hear you. Every time he goes like this, it means we can't hear you.
Why do you keep making audio cutout signals? It's because the audio cut out.
I know, but like it's while I'm talking.
Austin, I want you to know your audio didn't cut out for me.
Thanks, Eddie. You're the one who matters.
We have a deep spiritual connection.
It's a lot of the same sort of like traveling around and like finding out crazy aspects of the world / universe.
Okay.
You get to learn like the gems are not quite as morally pure as they seem at the start. They're like jealous, angry people who have lots of problems and take them out on the people around them, but they're learning to get better.
Kind of like Rick.
Okay. To bring it back to Rick and Morty.
Eddie, it's my turn.
There are no turns, you motherfucker.
I just want to say, like, that first episode that you had us watch.
Rick Potion number 9 with the Cronenberg-ness.
Yeah, the ending of that episode, man, that was crazy. So when they travel to the other universe, right? Yep. So this episode is my first exposure to the show. They wreck the universe. They travel to the other one. They bury their own dead selves. And then we just have like a minute or so long sequence of like this like, you know, kind of like deep contemplative music playing where the camera's just stuck on Morty's face as like the world moves around him. And he's just like blankly staring, like, what have I done?
He's a little school kid.
Oh my God.
Got thrown into a universe.
And I needed to take a break after that before I could watch the other episodes.
Dude, that's not even the worst one.
Yeah, no, it gets better.
I was like, I thought I was gonna go on a fun romp through space and time.
So, you know,
I was
yes
wrong.
And no.
What Austin just described about like the selfishness, essentially Rick does things that sometimes help the world, but it's mainly for his own selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. He just wants to do all the science and stuff.
But throughout the series, it's implied that he's an enemy of like the galactic government. He sacrificed a lot to save like freedoms of people.
Well, don't know if it was the freedoms of the people or if it was just for his own selfish reasons.
Yeah, well, other people talk about it, and, like, there's this character called Bird Person, Rick's oldest friend. Morty's like, Rick is just a selfish piece of shit.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
And Bird Person's like, well, you have to understand that there's a reason why he's the way that he is.
So then, that actually brings me to, like, a question I kind of have. There are people that exist in some of the universes that don't exist in other ones, right? Like Mr. Poopy Butthole. So is it possible that in C-137 Rick and Morty universe, there is no Crumbopolis Michael?
Yeah.
It is possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That is possible.
But see, that's it's because of that is the reason why there's a finite set of universes of which Rick exists. Because think of it like, okay, you buy a box of crayons, right? And they're like, they all have different shades of colors, right? But that orange isn't like orange, it's like blood orange or something, right? And they all have different variations of those colors, right? And if you keep buying those, there's only so many oranges, right? Because there's only so many universes of which end up with that one color, regardless of what shade of color you want. Think of that like Rick. There's only so many universes in which Rick actually became to be born, and there's only so many lesser universes in which Rick is the Rick we want, who's a smart, you know, selfish piece of shit that does, like, all this, the Rick that we think of, and the council of Ricks that we know.
What?
Just because you started mixing metaphors, I wanted to take this a step further. Imagine that this depends on either like the behavior of light or the presence of like certain pigments of stuff. So do we think that light behaves the same way in every universe.
My point, exactly.
Oh.
Do you want me to get onto my theory of the dark again?
No, I want to keep fucking talking about Rick and Morty.
Yeah, so that was, so mine was more Rick and Morty oriented.
Thank you.
No, but my point is...
No, Keenan, your point does not matter.
I don't give a fuck what you think.
Fucking savage. Holy shit.
Shit.
All right, so the way I took it was more...
Fucking... Fuck faces.
So Rick, he, you know, has this technology where he can travel between universes, right? And he says that there is an infinite number of universes, right? But like, not that exist, because there's infinite Ricks that exist, but there's only so many that have
no,
all...
No, there's not. There can't be.
There can be, Keenan.
...converged and met each other, and those Ricks make up the finite curve, is how I took it.
There can be an infinite number of Ricks.
Indeed.
That's what the concept of infinity means.
Yep.
You're assuming, though, that there's a Rick in every single universe, though.
No,
because
no,
the thing is, Keenan, I'm gonna do it this time. It'll be me. Infinity doesn't behave like other numbers.
Hold
if
on.
You multiply
yeah.
infinity by anything, it is still infinity. If you divide it by anything, it's still infinity. It's like zero in a way.
There is no physical quantity of infinite universes. There are just infinite universes. So therefore, in every single one of those universes, even if you could possibly imagine them, there is a Rick an infinite number of times.
I could possibly imagine
you
one.
Could, if you could possibly imagine every single universe in infinity, which you can't.
No, you can't.
There would
You're
be
right.
an infinite number of
yeah.
Ricks in those. That's it. So I had a couple questions. First one for Eddie. From what I understand about the Elder Scrolls universe, and from what you have told me, they all take place on the same world, just at a different time period.
Yeah.
Is there any persistence between the stories of the games?
Yeah. Well, can't you, like, cut stuff just if I go too long? At...
Well, that is correct. Is there a persistence?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. So, Keenan, you mentioned that the two scientists, one from Columbia and one from Rapture, talk to each other about the plasmids and the Vigors. Is it at all mentioned if that happens in any of the other universes, or is it just those two specific ones talking to each other and no collaboration from the outside universes?
Well, I don't think it's explicitly mentioned. However, when Elizabeth is jumping through time and through these different universes, going back and forth between Columbia and Rapture, really sees the dynamic between them two. And so I would say yes, these other universes, because that in itself is a completely separate universe from the game you play in Bioshock Infinite. So if that would have to be for the stuff that happens there is true for the main, I guess, like, I don't know, the base universe we start in, the standard. So I would say yes, in other places that this has developed, if it develops at all.
So just real quick, so like in Rick and Morty, the, you know, infinite universes and stuff, that's just how the universe is,
yeah.
right? That's not something that Morty, that's not something that like Rick caused at any point as far as we know.
He didn't
right?
cause the existence of multiple universes, but there is one episode where Rick, Summer, and Morty end up splitting themselves into multiple timelines, and then they have to find a way to come back into one, which is kind of similar to the warping, I guess.
Gotcha, yeah. And that's something I was going to say. So, and also in Bioshock, that's, there just are all these different universes and timelines, right? It's not something that like Booker/Comstock caused, right? They're just a result of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, he didn't explicitly come up with the idea to do like, I will split the universe. It was more like this was the universe that he was in. He popped into the universe, and it turned out that Booker happened to make different decisions.
Comstock just figured out how to access the different universes, right?
Yeah.
The High Prophet.
Yeah, the High Prophet, Zachary Comstock, which, by the way, was one of the most annoying goddamn things to be playing. You're just playing along, and then all of a sudden, the High Prophet has, I'm like, oh my god, get the fuck away from me.
So, the only question I really had about Steven Universe, besides, I still don't quite understand the whole rock alien thing, is it an episodic kind of show, or is there just, like, plot the entire way through? Because,
I mean... It does have a plot that underlies like the majority of the episodes, but you can take certain episodes out of context and they'll still have like you exploring the world that it like with the characters. So it doesn't have to fit into a linear narrative, but a lot of them do. Like because it's a 10-minute show. So to get
it's
really
a 10-minute show?
11 minutes and 28 seconds on average, Austin. You know
so they
that.
Put two of them in a half an hour block then?
Yeah, yeah. And they did that with like a, yeah. They've done that with like a Thanksgiving special and the stuff too. Like, you know, sometimes they'll do a half hour block for it.
Cool.
Well, that about wraps it up, so I want to get your guys' feedback. What did you think about the episode? What did you think about the content? How about we rate it 1 to 5 schmeckles, just because that's the currency from Rick and Morty. So, let's start with Eddie.
I'm gonna give it 5, just the episodes that we watched, I'm gonna give it 5 schmeckles.
I like what you got.
Because, like, yeah, it really made me want to watch the rest of the show.
5 schmeckles!
Because, like I said, I've never watched Rick and Morty before.
Do it.
So I'm gonna give it 5 schmeckles because it did a really good job of, I think, like, making me think about stuff and making me want to know what happens in all these other episodes. Wait, we're rating the podcast? Oh, 0 schmeckles. I feel like we didn't spend any time talking about, like, relating the domains to Rick and Morty.
What are you talking about? We totally did.
We did a little bit. I tried.
I thought we did.
All right, Keenan, what did you think?
I would definitely give Rick and Morty, and at least the episodes that we saw, a solid 5 schmeckles. Just for the feel of the episodes, it's just something we haven't, like, just kind of spontaneous tone of the series. It's just something you don't really see in television these days, and I find that Rick and Morty to be one of the most intelligent shows that I've seen in a very long time. So, like I said, I would give this a solid 5 schmeckles.
It's a very clever show where Rick very commonly says, lick my balls!
Lick my balls!
I haven't seen that. It wasn't in these 3 episodes.
So smart, so clever, yes. All right, Austin, what would you rate this?
I'd give it 4 out of 5 schmeckles.
Boo.
Thank you for being honest.
Because it was pretty okay, but there wasn't enough Mr. Poopy Butthole in the C-137 universe.
Ooh-wee, amen to that.
There is no Mr. Poopy Butthole at all in the C-137
As far
universe.
As we know.
Yeah, there's not enough of him.
But 0 times 5 is still 0.
I really like Mr. Poopy Butthole, by the way. Mr. Poopy Butthole was probably, like, the best character.
Probably, but maybe Austin would have liked these episodes better if I put the one with Ice-T in it.
This is an episode with Ice-T?
Because he's, like, a floating rock.
Oh my god, Ice-T!
No, the Parasite episode is my favorite
Ice-T, like, the guy from Law & Order Special Victims Unit?
You'll see.
Yes,
watch Get Swifty. Just watch the episode Get Swifty. It's hilarious.
Take a shit on the floor.
Alright, Pat, aren't you supposed to tell us that we sucked?
I don't think you sucked. I think Austin is a little butthurt that Rick and Morty is better than Steven Universe, and that's why he gave it a 4 out of 5, but whatever.
No, there just wasn't enough Mr. Poopy Butthole! Now this little poopy pants is hungry!
Hey, Austin, tell me how much Mr. Poopy Butthole is in Steven Universe.
Exactly.
I'm gonna give Steven Universe 0 out of 5 schmeckles.
You haven't even watched it!
This is gonna be a tough rating for the Gold Star Student. The Gold Star Student Award, I think...
What? Who said that?
Should go to Eddie.
Hey! It worked.
Great.
So the reason I think it should go to Eddie is because what I think Eddie did very well was he drove the conversation between your universes a little bit too. Eddie was really the host in this situation, and that's why he gets the Gold Star Student
Award.
It's fucking bullshit.
He gets a 5 out of 5 schmeckles.
Good job!
He doesn't even know what a plumbus is.
Mainly because you had to know way more about, like, your universe is this big, and our universes are all, like, this big. And for the viewers out there, the very first this big was a lot bigger than the second this big.
You did make a little couple of hand motions there on this audio podcast.
That's why I'm trying to, like, explain.
I would like to say, now that I've been awarded these 5 schmeckles, I'd like to say the one thing I know about Rick and Morty. They're after me schmeckles. There, I knew that.
You haven't seen It's Been a Tough Mating Season for Bird Person?
No, I haven't seen that.
You got a lot in front. So that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm Pat. I'm joined by Keenan, Eddie, and Austin. And this week's topic was the multiverse theory in Rick and Morty. You can check it out at Adult Swim. I'm pretty sure that's the only... Oh, Hulu. It's on Hulu now. Our next episode will be hosted by Eddie. Eddie's the next host.
That's me.
And we'll be talking about what, Eddie?
Marvel Comics.
All right.
Oh, I can say what specifically. We're going to be reading the Marvel comic entitled... Marvels? And talking about that.
Sounds like a blast. So you should read up on that before it airs on the 27th. And if you want to get into contact with us, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook at Geeking Program. Email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review. If you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com. Thank you very much.
Cool.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Pat Brend, joined by Austin Keenan and Edward Ryan. Gotta get that last name in there. This episode was brought to you by Orange Crayons, complicating the explanation of impossible numbers since 2017. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, and featuring original music by me. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes and check out commongeekingprogram.com to learn more. We hope you tune in on January 27th for our next episode, so read up on Marvel before then, and thank you for listening to this.
The way we do this, as we did last week, is, like, at a certain time, so I'm going to say probably like 12:23, we are all going to clap, like, as soon as the clock turns to that.
And...
I don't think that was right. We're going to do it again. We're going to do that again in a minute.
Yeah, that was not nearly as good as last time.
So mine was 100% Colin, right on 12.
Now we have to wait a whole minute.
Here's the question I have for you, my friend. So though all our computers are connected to the internet and theoretically should be set exactly the same time-wise, they're not. Because technology isn't perfect.
Guys, it's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up, guys.
5 seconds. Get ready. Someone's clapping. This is hilarious.
I'm clapping as soon as mine goes to 12:24.
Yeah. Me and Pat were on point.
I didn't clap because you guys had all clapped a bunch before mine said 12:24.
Are you wearing off your watch?
And no, I'm looking at my computer.
Yeah, me and Pat lined up at the same time. It's coming up again, guys. 15 seconds.
Does your computer show the seconds?
Yes.
Yours can too.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, I figured it out. Okay, right. I'm ready now.
Five seconds.
Now I'm gonna...
5 seconds.
Round three. What the fuck is happening?
Right. Austin, I'm never going to trust you to, like, catch a knife or anything.
What the fuck? Like, what the fuck, Austin?
Like, a good 2 seconds before ours switches? I'm very confused.
Maybe there's 2 seconds of latency, Colin.
No, but then it should be, then we should perceive it as you guys being 2 seconds after us. This is like 2 seconds forward in time.
Guys, I had to record like 4 slaps. Guys, 30 seconds to the next.
I think.
No, it's not going to work. We've done it 3 times.
No, the next window is coming up, guys.
I can work with this. It's fine.
Okay, here we go.
20 seconds.
Here we go.
All right, we're doing it again.
I have a pen.
This is the last try.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. 5 seconds. Window open.